If you will, if you'll put your thumb in Romans chapter 12, we'll be getting to that text here shortly. Romans chapter 12. You know, we try to define words with the simplest meaning possible. When we do this, it helps with the clarity of thought and with the meaning. So when we come to the term disciple, we often think of one who is a student or a follower of another. But there is more to the term than just a casual follower. Jesus called people to become his disciples, and he called his apostles to go and make disciples. In those days, a disciple would actively imitate both the life and the teachings of their master. They really wanted to become the image of their master. But when Jesus called people to become disciples, he did so with a warning. The warning we find in Luke chapter 14, in verses 25 through 27, and also in verse 33. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and he said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not, and hates his own father and his mother, wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." In verse 33, he says, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." That's a pretty harsh warning. And there are many today who call themselves Christians, but this idea of discipleship takes our name Christian to a much higher level than some want to give to Christ. Paul takes us back to the sacrifices of old. In his opening of God's mercies, he takes us to the cross of Christ. And in light of God's grace to us, the questions become, how will we respond to him? And Paul's answer in Romans 12 and verse 1 is to become a living sacrifice. Dead animals are not what God is looking for anymore. Why? Because the perfect Lamb of God has already been offered. Because of the cross, the sacrifices of old are no longer what God is seeking. He now looks at the heart. The call for holiness and obedience has not changed. God has always demanded those things. But the method of atonement has changed. In verse 1, Paul writes here, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So what God is looking for in us is a living sacrifice. It is a matter of taking up our cross each and every day. Not just when we feel like it, but daily, and follow him. It is, I guess you could say, living in true repentance. It is living for him and not for ourselves. It is living humbly before God and letting God lift us up. Humility is the only way that we can present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And until we are willing to give up ourselves, we can never take on the grace of Christ. But I want us to look and focus just a moment on the last clause of that verse. Which is your spiritual worship? Now, I have to admit that maybe that phrase might be a little bit ambiguous. And the idea that Paul is telling us to worship God with our whole heart, to worship Him in true spirit. If you would, I'd like to take you back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we have Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. His apostles had gone off to buy meat for their meal. And he was sitting there and he had asked the Samaritan woman to give him a drink. During this encounter, Jesus touches on this woman, a very personal part of her life. When she talks, or he talks about her husband. And in fact, she didn't have one husband, she's had five. But she answered Jesus in the correct way, and he commended her on it, that she did not have a husband, that the man that she was staying with and living with was not. But she changes the subject here in this chapter to worship. And she said that the Samaritans worshiped on their mountains while the Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. But it is this part that I want us to understand, that Jesus, after this, had reiterated to her that it is not where you worship that's the issue. It's the desire to worship God, God's way. Jesus uses these words in verse 23. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. So when Paul tells us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, he is telling us to present ourselves as that living sacrifice. He's telling us to give 100% over to God instead of trying to live a life straddling the fence, if you will. Giving God some time and then giving the world some time. He wants us to give all of it to Him and to leave the world behind. The point is humility. A disciple who gives up self to follow and become like the Master is what God desires. We die to self. This is being the living sacrifice. We give up our wants, our rights, our wishes, for a better cause than ourselves. We give up ourselves on the altar and we offer ourselves to God to do with us what He wants. That is discipleship wrapped up in worship. Or as Paul so well stated in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You see, we have been crucified with Christ. We are still living, but each and every day we have to become that living sacrifice. Okay, that is accurate theology. But what does it look like in real life today? How do we live sacrificially? Romans 12 and verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Humility before God leads us to service like Jesus did. You go back and you look through the four Gospels. What did Jesus do? Jesus fed people. He washed feet. He touched lepers. He let people know that they had value to him and before God. They were not simply a number. Jesus served others. When we look at our neighbors, when we look at our co-workers, what value do we place on them? How do we see them? Do we see them as pains in the neck? Do we see them as that they are worse than I am? That I am a better person? Did Jesus ever once do that to the people that he was preaching to or the ones that he interacted with? Never. The woman brought to him in adultery, did he ever once rebuke her and tell her that she was despicable for what she was doing? He simply told her, go and sin no more. He had compassion on her when the law of that day was for her to be stoned. That's how we are to be. Jesus served others, and so are we. Not so much always of serving a meal to someone, but showing compassion. Paul appeals to us not to think more of ourselves than we ought to. And I'm sorry, but that's a human trait. We oftentimes do think of ourselves as better than someone else. Instead, Paul wants us to know that God has gifted us to be the best servant in the best way to the most people in this church family and in our communities. The outward sign that we have given ourselves up to the glory of God is doing and using the gifts that God has given us. Look in verses 6 through 8 in Romans chapter 12. Paul said here, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. It is not a matter of have you been gifted. It is a matter of are you using your God-giftness. You know, I think about the ones who take time out of their week to clean the building. I think of the teachers who teach our children on Sundays and Wednesdays. I think about those who put in the efforts to improve our sound system and our audiovisual equipment. I think about those who send out cards and letters in our personal work groups, and those who personally, on their own, send cards of encouragement and well wishes. I think of those who unselfishly care for their elderly family members and those who provide transportation for those who no longer can drive. I think about those people. And I see in this family people who are a living sacrifice because they use the gifts God gave them for the betterment of the family. What drew so many people to Jesus? It was humility and service. Jesus never once, when he was preaching to the people, said, "I am the greatest." Ever. Many came to Jesus not because of his theological teachings either. They came to him because of his compassion. His outward expression of love for the least of these. Because of his humility and service, the Father gave Jesus the name above all names. He raised him up from the dead and seated him back in power in the heavenly realms. As Paul appealed to the readers of his letter to the Roman Christians, I appeal the same to you, that by the mercies that God has shown us through Christ, that we ourselves give ourselves heart, soul, mind, and strength to God as a living sacrifice. The most important thing that you can do, whether you are conversant in scriptures of Bible, whether or not you can remember book, chapter, verse, is to live what you have been taught, what you believe on a daily basis. Show others the compassion in your heart for them. Whether they are down and out, whether they are struggling, even whether they are of a haughty spirit, show them kindness and love and compassion. Then you truly will be a living sacrifice. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we truly pray that you will make that decision soon in your life, preferably today, for to delay may cost you your life and eternity. You will live for eternity. It's just the location will be up for grabs. Through repentance and confession and baptism for the remission of your sins, you can live eternity with God the Father and God the Son in joy and happiness and praise each and every moment. If not, I cannot imagine what it will be like to be cast into the same place with Satan and his angels for eternity with no hope and no agony. There will never, ever come again a time when God will give those in that lake of fire an opportunity to repent. If you are a child of God and there are things in your life you need to change, we want to give you that opportunity also. If you need for us to pray with you, to pray for you, we want to do that with you. If there's anyone that has a desire, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.